Saul of Tarsus was a born leader. His parents had the coveted privilege of Roman citizenship. He was taught by the brightest minds of the day. He was climbing the political hierarchy and groomed to be the new high priest. The current high priest chose him for a very special mission, which was to stamp out Christianity. On his mission, he went from house to house, taking prisoners and even killing on his anti-Christian movement. However, in Acts 9, we can read of Saul's conversion. God chooses him to be the instrument to build the New Testament church. He changes his name from Saul to Paul to represent that he's been reborn as a new man in Christ. He was chosen twice, once by the high priest to destroy Christianity, and once by God to spearhead its expansion. So the question for us today is, are we a Saul or a Paul in the church? Are we destroying the church or are we building it up? We are either one or the other, and there is no middle ground. It's easy for you to think, there's no way I'm destroying the church. But here are a few examples of things we might be all guilty of. Number one, we destroy the church through apathy. Apathy means without love. There are many Christians who go through their walk with God without passion or love for the work. In Scripture, the Lord often refers to it as being lukewarm. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Another definition of lukewarm is serving God in such a way as not to offend the devil. Number two, we destroy the church by being a bad representative of Christ to the world. We destroy the church or hurt it when we are hypocritical. No one is perfect, but we must strive to live up to the standards that we are taught from the Scripture in order for them to see Christ living in us. Titus chapter 1, verse 16. When we are haughty, answers to others are to be given with respect. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. A holier-than-thou attitude cools off the interest of those asking. And when we are harsh, the servant of the Lord is to be gentle, not gruff, meek, not mean. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And number three, we destroy the church when we disparage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Backbiting, gossip, or anything that undermines a brother or the church as a whole is only going to destroy unity. Malicious talk is listed as equal sins with envy and murder. See Romans chapter 1, verse 29. God's children are to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. On the other hand, if you want to be like Paul, here are some things we can be doing in order to build the church up. Number one, we must practice discipleship. Making disciples is the highest calling and central task of the church, as Jesus commands in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. How involved are we today in the work of our local congregations to reach out to the lost? When's the last time we talked to someone about Christ, had a home study, or even invited someone to services? Are we actively engaged in discipleship, or are we simply a fan watching from the sidelines? Saul gave up his glowing future in order to spread the gospel. Number two, we must have a zeal for Christ. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17, "And he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle." This verse talks about wrapping ourselves with zeal. Christian zeal keeps us active, engaged, and passionate about spiritual priorities. We are passionate about a lot of insignificant things, such as sports, jobs, entertainment. But would our friends say we are passionate about the church and spiritual things? And finally, number three, we must strive for unity. Satan knows that a house divided against itself will fall. He also knows that if we stand together in the unity of our faith, we'll arrive at the full stature of Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Our unified power is something that Satan can never touch. John chapter 13, verse 35, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment." We achieve unity by studying the same Bible together and coming to the same conclusions on major issues. So in conclusion today, I want to ask, are you a Saul or a Paul in the church today? Thank you.